broader message is that the feedback of melting sea ice is even higher than previously shown. This is an early warning for what's happening in the rest of the Arctic if this melting continues and what is most likely to happen in the next decades. Bill Maguire, Emeritus Professor of Geographical and Geophysical Climate Hazards at the University of College London, said the findings were among the most dire he's ever seen. While land surface temperatures are rising and oceans warming across the globe, Isakson said his team's research helps show what's happening in the far northeast of the scale. As The Guardian reports, it was already known that the climate crisis was driving heating across the Arctic three times faster than the global average, but the new research shows the situation is even more extreme in places. Sea ice is good at reflecting sunlight, but is melting away. This allows the darker ocean below to absorb more energy. Losing sea ice also means it no longer restricts the ability of warmer sea waters to heat up the Arctic air. The more ice is lost, the more heat accumulates, forming a feedback loop. According to Dr. Ruth Mutarem, a climate scientist at the Danish Meteorological Institute, who was not part of the research team, this study shows that even the best possible models have been underestimating the rate of warming in the Barents Sea. We seem to be seeing it shifting to a new regime as it becomes less like the Arctic and more like the North Atlantic, she told The Guardian. It's really on the edge right now, and it seems unlikely that sea ice will persist in this region for much longer.
This is A to Z. An introduction into Islamic lifestyle. Today's topic, the inner personality. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. When we look at our own selves, and when we look at the people around us, we find that they have an external appearance which we see by their way of talking and moving, and which is clear to us, which is clear by when we look at them, when we by our senses. But there is another aspect of the people in our own selves, and it's our own inner personality. What is our inner personality? It's our moral values, its moral qualities, moral characters that make ourselves. If we look at people and we can look at ourselves, we find that our inner personality is made of the moral characters. What are moral characters and how they are made and how they play their role in forming of our personality? We find that moral characters are actually divided into two types. The first type are called the excellences, or in other words, they are good moral qualities. And then on the other side, we have vices or bad moral qualities. These together make our personality, make what we are in real within ourselves. What we are really in our essence is comprised by our own moral characters, which we make gradually by our own intention and will. Welcome back. You are listening to A to Z. Well, we were talking about the moral character and moral qualities which make our inner personality, which make what we are really, what we are in our inner essence. So we told that those qualities are divided into moral excellences and moral vices. We today want to speak about how they are developed in our personality. Actually, they are developed in the result of our own actions, our own deeds. When we do practice a thing and repeat it for more and more times, it gradually becomes a habit. When we develop a habit, and it becomes ingrained and rooted in our personality, and it becomes a part of ourself, it becomes a character, it becomes a rooted habit, and it is what in Arabic called khuluq or malaka. It's called malaka or khuluq. And that rooted habit which make our real personality is made by our own selves. And that's the most important thing to know, that our akhirah, our the hereafter, our reality will, when it will be revealed, these moral quality will be the standard and will be the criteria by which we will be a part of those people who are successful or those who eventually end to failure. So the inner moral qualities are the very important things about our personality which we should work upon, and we should think about how to develop these moral excellences, how to avoid the vices. Inshallah, I'll ask Subhanahu wa Ta'ala that He help us walk on the path of excellences and to avoid the vices. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you very much, listeners, for listening to this episode of A to Z on IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. To find out more about this program, log on to our website parstoday.com/EN, Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
From the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
The wildfires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.
A new report by the Wall Street Journal reveals that Israel secretly coordinates with the U.S. on many of the airstrikes it carries out in Syria. The report adds that since 2017, Israel has carried out more than 400 airstrikes in Syria and other parts of the West Asia region. It claims that Israeli attacks have been aimed at restricting Iran and its allied forces in Syria. The vast majority of those Israeli airstrikes have been approved by the U.S. Central Command and at the Pentagon. The U.S. aims to ensure that Israel's bombing raids don't interfere with the U.S.-led military campaign in Syria. Many observers believe that the revelation by the Wall Street Journal was rather a confirmation of an open secret policy.
I think, first of all, whenever anyone says that the U.S. is secretly doing this or that with Israel, It's almost naive to say that. Israel is, in essence, an agent of the United States. I know there are people that think it works the other way around, but Israel is a Euro-American white settler state that was imposed on Palestine, as people know. Project beginning, I guess perhaps you say, from the Balfour Declaration in the 20s forward to when the State of Israel, quote-unquote, was created. And it's been a military base, basically, from which to secure the oil fields of the area, Iran's, Iraq's, all of it, Syria's, everywhere. The Israeli military, for all of its public relations effort to the contrary, is an agent of the U.S. military, with some nominal French and British input into that. Certainly financial input is not nominal, it's real. But this is a creature of the Pentagon and Langley that behaves in coordination with the policy that is implemented by the United States.
The timing of the Wall Street Journal revelation comes as the Israeli regime has increased its attacks against Syria. Last week, the regime heavily struck Damascus International Airport, which is still not completely up and running. Syrian officials have said on many occasions that U.S. troops in Syria are there to loot the country's resources. Former U.S. President Donald Trump was not embarrassed to frankly say that he kept U.S. troops in Syria for Syrian oil only.
We've kept the oil. We stayed back and kept the oil. Other people can patrol the border of Syria, frankly, and
the fight against Daesh seems to have been a good pretext to maintain U.S. illegal presence in Syria. Syrian officials have also repeatedly called on the United Nations to stop Israel's strikes on the country. But those calls have almost always gone unnoticed behind a couple of verbal admonitions by UN officials. This seems to have emboldened the regime to carry on its attacks with impunity.
After setting loose Daesh and al-Qaeda and 47 other varieties of jihadi on Syria, the U.S. government found itself facing a request from the Syrian government that had, by the way, been twice elected since 2011 by vast majorities of Syrians inside and outside the country. Israel is, you know, a U.S. lapdog. That has lots of advanced weapons. It's a money laundry for money that goes funneled through the Pentagon and Langley. Billions and billions of dollars of money taken from American taxpayers ends up in the hands of arms merchants, all kinds of people through Israel and whatever. And these things are used to inflict misery on the people of the Middle East to the extent that there's any resistance between these people that want to own the resources of that area and the actual ownership of it.
The confirmations of the U.S. approval and coordinations of Israeli attacks in Syria can definitely be seen as rather a public support for regime strikes in Syria, especially at a time when Israel has increased the intensity of its cross-border attacks. Such support would likely embolden the Israeli regime to carry out more attacks in Syria.
Turkey has targeted northern Iraq, killing several people and injuring a number of others. The strike hit the Sinjar Resisting Units, or YBS, a militia affiliated with the Kurdistan Workers' Party, or PKK, in Iraq's northern province of Sinjar. Turkey regards the PKK as a terrorist outfit. According to security sources, the strike hit a municipal council building in Snani, a village near the border with Syria. Turkey regularly carries out airstrikes into northern Iraq and has sent commandos to support its offensives. Baghdad accuses Turkey of violating its sovereignty. Turkey has a long-running military campaign in northern Syria against Syrian Kurdish YPG militia. Ankara considers that group as a terrorist organization as well. Ankara is reportedly planning to expand its military operation in northern Syria. President Erdogan has told the parliament Ankara aims to resume its efforts to create a 30-kilometer safe zone along its border with Syria. He has also urged NATO member states to support his country's efforts to establish a safe zone on the border with Syria.
It is crazy to think that the Turks will be fighting American-sponsored Kurds, and there isn't anybody in the world community that can call them up on the hypocrisy and say, you are fighting amongst yourselves in a way that could end up in a world war.
Turkey has deployed forces in Syria in violation of the Arab country's territorial integrity. The Syrian Foreign Ministry called on the international community not to work with Erdogan on the lands of other countries to achieve goals that will have catastrophic effects on security, peace, and stability in the region and in the world. Russia also considers Turkey's possible military operation in Syria unwise as it could escalate and destabilize the situation. Iran also voiced concern about the planned operation, saying the move could complicate the situation even further. In Syria, Turkey conducted three military operations in 2016, 2018, and 2019 that specifically aimed to prevent the formation of politically autonomous regions along the Turkish border controlled by Kurdish-dominated YPG militants. A fourth operation in 2020 in the Idlib region did not specifically target PKK affiliates, but it was in line with Turkey's desire to maintain territorial control and create a buffer zone along the Turkish-Syrian border.
But it's a big problem. It shows Turkey up for what it is, and that Turkey is doing everything in the region purely for their own short-term benefit, and they are quite happy to fight the Kurds and crush the Kurds, and this completely conflicts with the Americans aren't really trying to help the Kurds, as they aren't ever really trying to help anyone apart from themselves, and their short-term allies, the Kurds, are going to end up fighting their other allies, the Turks.
Ankara-backed militants were deployed to northeastern Syria in October 2019. After Turkish military forces launched a long-threatened cross-border invasion in a declared attempt to push YPG fighters away from border areas. Turkey has played a major role in supporting terrorists in Syria ever since a major foreign-backed insurgency overtook the country more than 10 years ago. Syrian President Bashar al-Assad and other senior officials have said the Damascus government will respond through all legitimate means available to the ongoing ground offensive by Turkish forces and allied Takfiri militants in the northern part of the war-battered Arab country.
Iran is expanding its diplomatic and economic ties with its neighbors and beyond. On Wednesday, Iran's President Ebrahim Raisi hosted his Turkmen counterpart Serdar Berdimuhamedov in Saadabad Palace in northern Tehran. Iran and Turkmenistan signed a set of documents and memoranda of understanding to broaden bilateral cooperation in different fields. 9 MOUs were signed in the meeting to boost cooperation in various fields, including politics, economy, trade, transportation, investment, new technologies, environment, sports, energy, judiciary, education, research, and tourism. This is Berdimuhamedov's first visit to Iran as Turkmenistan's president. He traveled to Tehran in January as the special envoy of Turkmenistan's former president and held talks with Raisi. Iran and Turkmenistan have agreed to set up a major trade center that can facilitate ties between businesses in the two countries amid efforts to deepen economic relations between the two neighbors. The establishment of the Tehran-Ashgabat Trade Center was discussed on Tuesday during a meeting between Iranian Trade Minister Reza Fatemi Amin and Deputy Head of the Cabinet of Ministers of Turkmenistan, Batir Attayev. On Tuesday, Iran's president hosted visiting Pakistani Foreign Minister Bilawal Bhutto Zardari. During the meeting, Raisi hailed ties between Iran and Pakistan and said Tehran and Islamabad can expand their bilateral trade and business ties to benefit both nations.
I find this most recent flurry of diplomatic activity and state visits to Iran to be highly significant. What this signifies is that clearly Iran, far from being isolated on the world stage, is in fact extending its ties, bilateral ties, both regionally and as well ties to Venezuela in the Western Hemisphere.
And earlier in the week, Iran welcomed Venezuela's President Nicolas Maduro and his high-level delegation. Iran and Venezuela have signed partnership agreements in the fields of science, technology, agriculture, oil and gas, petrochemicals, tourism, as well as culture. Raisi hailed the accord as an indication of the two countries' determination to expand bilateral ties despite U.S. and Western pressure. And the Venezuelan president, for his part, lauded the 20-year partnership agreement between Tehran and Caracas, saying the two sides will be able to expand bilateral relationship by consolidating their ties and drawing a clear vision in the next two decades.
As far as the outcome of these visits, this can only be positive for these nations, for most recently Pakistan, whose prime minister visited, for the Turkmen president, and as well for President Maduro. Those nations and national leadership that seeks to maintain sovereignty and independence, especially and particularly from American global economic and military hegemony, will greatly benefit their national economies as well as their populations.
And last month, Iran hosted Tajikistan's President Emomali Rahman. That visit also resulted in the signing of major deals between Tehran and Dushanbe. Since the inauguration of President Raisi's government, Tehran has stressed on the expansion of ties with regional as well as non-regional countries. Raisi's major achievement was his attendance at the Shanghai Cooperation Organization in Dushanbe, where Iran was formally accepted as a new member of the organization. Iran's accession to the SCO will be a major boost to the bloc's influence in the region.
I believe what we're seeing is the relatively exciting and promising, although challenging, beginnings of the complete break from the dollar-based global economic system. I say exciting and promising because this will definitely enable nations that seek to maintain their independence and sovereignty to break from the dollar-based global economic system. However, this is certainly not an easy task and one that comes without costs.
Mainly because Iran's massive transportation network can facilitate regional and international trade. Iran is also expected to benefit economically from the membership in the bloc. The Iranian Customs Office said that Iranian exports to SCO members had increased by 41% year-on-year in the 11 months to late February, reaching nearly $18.3 billion.
But ultimately, we can look forward to the development of actual systems and structures that will enable nations, independent sovereign nations such as Iran, Russia, China, Venezuela, potentially other nations in the region who want to get on board, Turkmenistan, Pakistan, which we were recently talking about, to move towards a system that is not reliant, for example, on SWIFT and that completely bypasses the dollar.
Earlier this year, Iran's president also visited Russia to expand bilateral ties. Tehran and Moscow reached agreements to expand their cooperation in the fields of industry, defense and aerospace sectors, as well as oil and energy. The burgeoning ties between Iran and other countries have foiled plots by the US and its allies to isolate Iran. They also show that sanctions and threats have failed to stop Iran's progress.
I
After some three decades of a fall in the global stockpile of nuclear weapons, the world seems to be on the brink of witnessing a reverse in the declining trend. The Stockholm International Peace Research Institute's yearly report states that online possessors of nuclear weapons, namely the United States, Russia, the United Kingdom, France, China, India, Pakistan, Israel, and the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, continue to modernize their nuclear arsenals. The arms watchdog, also known as CIPRI, says the total number of nuclear weapons declined slightly between January 2021 and January 2022. However, a senior associate with the think tank says there is evidence of change in where the world is headed and warned that this is a very worrying trend. The trend in nuclear weapons worldwide has been witnessing a declining trend for a long time. It is now lower than one-fifth of what it was within the arsenals of the nuclear powers at the top of the Cold War in the 1980s. And now, CIPRI's report comes at the height of mixed signals regarding nuclear diplomacy. Earlier this year, the five UN veto powers, including China, France, Russia, the United Kingdom, and the United States, declared their intention to take action against the further spread of nuclear weapons. But the think tank asserted that all five countries had since further expanded or modernized their arsenals.
The United States has attempted to take control as a unipolar power, and it's been a calamity for around the world, actually, for so many countries in so many ways. And for the last two decades, they've been driving forward. They have abandoned the nuclear treaties that were hammered out over the last part of the 20th century.
CIPRI reports that Russia and the U.S. possess about 90% of all nuclear warheads in the world, while the watchdog says the number of nuclear warheads in both countries fell in 2021. It states that the decline was mainly due to dismantling of those which the military had already abandoned years ago. CIPRI says that out of the total number of global nuclear warheads, an estimated 3,732 were deployed with missiles and aircrafts, and around 2,000 were kept in a state of high readiness, nearly all of which belong to either Russia or the United States. The Russian military doctrine allows the battlefield use of nuclear weapons, and the Biden administration has discussed possible responses. But who is following the path of war more, risking the use of nuclear weapons?
The United States is definitely driving this process. They're driving NATO ever closer to Russia. And I think that when you say the U.S. and its allies, you have to realize that Russia has allies as well. And those alliances are being strengthened by the U.S. aggression that's happening right now. The U.S. aggression in the Middle East has driven Syria and some other country, and Turkey, actually, who are not getting along with each other, but they're both being driven more into Russia and China's orbit and out of the U.S. economic center. And now with NATO pressing up against the borders of Russia, I mean, it's truly a terrible thing to do, and not to acknowledge that anyone has interests except the United States. So of course Russia's going to defend their borders.
Meanwhile, as the West proceeds with its acts of aggression across the globe, it has also ramped up its rhetoric against Iran. This comes as one of the U.S.'s closest allies, Israel, which also possesses nuclear weapons, has made threats against the Islamic Republic. Israeli Prime Minister Naftali Bennett claimed that Tehran was drawing dangerously close to producing nuclear weapons. The accusation comes despite Tehran's strong rejection of producing or even considering nuclear weapons. Bennett also called on the global community to ramp up efforts against Tehran, saying Iran's nuclear program won't stop until stopped. The warmongering aspirations of the U.S. and its allies comes while the world seems to be faced with many other challenges. Relations across the globe seem to have deteriorated further at the time when humanity and the planet face an array of profound and pressing common challenges. And while such difficulties could only be addressed by international cooperation, many, including the U.S., seem to be more focused on aggressive policies.
Iqra.
باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجه.
This is Habibullah Fasihzada. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. Thank you so much for joining us, respected brothers and sisters all over the world who are listening to us right now. I really welcome you all, inshallah, in this Quranic session, in level 3 of our Quranic sessions, the Tajweed rules of the Quranic Kareem. We are going to continue our previous topics, and we will learn, inshallah, new tips on how to read the Quran Kareem with tajweed beautifully and without mistakes, inshallah, right?
Al-Quran, nurun wa bayan. Al-Quran, hadiyul iman. Al-Quran, miskul khitam. Ya Quran.
So, simply, we have about the light sounds and heavy sounds. We have three groups. One, light letters. It's just a separate group. Then above the heavy letters, we have two groups. Heavy letters, always heavy letters. Okay? Doesn't matter. They have kasra, they have fatha, they have dhamma. They have this heavy sound. They have this complete isti'ala attribute. Heavy, I will tell you, it means that your tongue, a part of your tongue, especially the back part, the last part of your tongue, it just lifts up, comes up. So let's talk about these heavy letters. What are those heavy letters? Always heavy letters. Do you know? So, kha,
kha,
sad,
sad,
kha, sad,
dad,
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 ghain,
ghain,
ta,
ta,
qaf,
qaf,
and la, 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 ta, la, brothers, saddat, brothers, ghain, only ghain, not the twin brother, ayn, okay?
Yeah.
The ayn is not, okay? So only the twin brother, ghain, kha, kha is easy, right? Remember. So two twins we have here, sad and dad, ta and da, and then we have kha, qaf, and
Ghain.
Hussein Rahullah, say them.
Kha.
Kha.
Dad.
Dad.
Sad.
Sad. Why sad? Why not
no,
sad
yes.
first then? Sad.
Sad. Sad.
Okay.
Ghain.
Ghain.
No, no, no. Ghain. Ghain.
The brother, Ghain.
Ghain.
Okay.
And ta.
Ta.
Va.
Mm-hmm.
Qaf.
Qaf. That's nice. For what?
Sad,
sad,
zad,
dad. Okay, correctly pronounce it.
Kha,
kha. Look, they are heavy letters, but you're like producing a light sound. You're saying kha. It's not kha. Kha,
kha,
kha.
Sad,
sad,
dad,
dad.
Ta,
ta,
za,
za.
Ghain,
ghain, and qaf, qaf. Okay, seven letters. Hussain Ruhullah. Ali Nasser, sorry.
Kha.
Kha.
Ghain. Ghain.
Kha, gha.
Ghain. Ghain. Qaf.
Qaf.
Sad.
Sad.
Dad.
Dad.
Ta.
Ta.
Da.
Da. Mashallah. First say that the alone brothers, okay? The ones who are alone, okay? Not with their twins. Kha, qaf, ghain. Then, sad, dad, ta, la. Easy. Sad, dad, ta, la. They are like in a row, okay? So, the rest of the letters, except the ra, which is temporary heavy and light, okay? Sometimes it's light, sometimes it is heavy, the letter ra. The rest of the Arabic letters are always
light
letters. Light. Doesn't matter. They have fatha, they have kasra, they have dhamma.
Tashdeed.
They don't have any of them. They have sukun, they have tashdeed on the top. No problem.
Only one letter is temporary.
Yeah, and that is
ra.
Ra.
Sometimes it is heavy, sometimes it is
light.
It has a long discussion that we will talk inshallah today. So let's review the Arabic alphabet letters from Alif to Ya. Okay? Let's see which letters are clearly like light sounds, which are heavy letters, okay? Having heavy sound. Okay. So, who can repeat the Arabic alphabet letters? Who is ready? Let me do it. Alif.
Alif.
Ba.
Ba.
Ta.
Ta.
Okay, let's produce an A sound with all of them, okay?
Okay.
Like the sound that they have normally with fatha. A.
A.
Ba.
Ba.
Ta.
Ta.
Tha.
Tha.
Ja.
Ja.
Ha.
Ha.
All of them are light. Now one more, one heavy letter. Kha.
Kha.
Yeah. Da.
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 Ra.
Ra.
It has fatha, it is heavy. Nice. If it has kasra, ri.
Ri.
So it is not heavy. Okay, next one. Za.
Za.
Sa.
Sa.
Sha.
Sha.
Sa.
Sa.
Da.
Da.
Yeah. You say it with alif. If we say it with alif, sa.
Sa.
Da.
Da.
Uh-huh. Ta.
Ta.
La.
La.
A.
A.
Ra.
Ra.
Yes, that's good. Fa.
Fa.
And the last heavy letter, qa.
Qa.
Ka.
Ka.
La.
La.
Ma.
Ma.
Na.
Na.
Ha.
Ha.
Wa.
Wa.
Ha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all. Yeah, you finished. So now, Hussein Ruhullah, do them. Abata. We are kids, okay? Learning Arabic alphabet letters.
Only Aba.
Yeah. With fatha. Fatha and alif. Because it becomes very clear.
A.
Mm-hmm.
Ba.
Ba.
Ta.
Ta.
Fa.
Fa.
Ja.
Make a longer sound. Ja.
Ja.
Okay.
Ha.
Ha.
Kha.
Kha. Nice one.
And ra.
Da.
Oh.
Sorry.
Da. Da.
Da.
Ra.
Ra.
Za.
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 Okay.
Za. And sa.
Okay, nice.
Sha.
I didn't tell him, okay? He found it. Okay, sa.
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 La.
Ta.
Ain.
Two twins are there.
Ta.
Ta.
Za.
La.
A.
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 Uh-huh, come down.
And
always do not go up. Come down.
Ra.
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 Ra. Ra. Filin, for example.
Yes. Ra. Ailain. Fa.
Fa.
Qaf.
Qa. Not Qa. Say the whole name.
Qa.
Qa. The next one. The rest of them are light.
Yeah, light.
So come on, say them.
So.
K-L-M-N-O.
Yeah.
Easy. The same as English.
K.
K-L-M-N. Do not say the English letters.
Oh.
K.
K.
La.
La.
Kalama.
Ma.
Do not say kalima. Kalama.
Kal.
Kalama.
Na. Na. Ha.
Wa.
Yeah.
That's it. Thank you, Hussein Ruhullah. Now, Ali Nasser. Say them, please.
Mm-hmm. A. Ba. Ta.
Ta.
Tha.
Tha.
Ja.
Okay.
Ha.
Ha.
Kha.
Kha. Nice one.
Da.
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 ra
ra
za
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 z sound za
za sa
sa
sha
sha
so
so
ba
to
ta
ta
ba
la
ain
a
a
okay
ga
ro
ro
okay
la
fa
fa
qa qa nice
ka
ka
la
la
mi
ma
ma
kalima no the word kalima no kalama na
ma na
okay
ha
wa
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 ha
wa ha ya
ya
okay
IRIB English Radio, in cooperation with Xavier International Schools, presents Let's Recite the Quran.
Now, Fawad Haider, please.
A.
Okay.
Ba.
Ba.
Ta.
Ta.
Tha.
Tha.
Ja.
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 Okay.
Ha.
Ha.
Kha.
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 Okay.
Da.
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 Ra.
Ra.
Za. Za.
Za. Nice one. Sin.
Sa.
Sa.
Sha.
Sa. Sha.
Sa. Sha.
Okay.
Sod.
So.
Dot.
Ta.
Ain.
Ta. 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 And
ta.
Za.
A.
Za.
Za.
A. A. Nice.
A. Ra.
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 Okay. Your name, Fawad.
Fa.
Fa.
Qa.
Qa.
La.
Ka. La.
Ka. La. Ma. Na. Hiya.
Ha. Wa.
Ha. Wa. Ya.
That's it. So, alhamdulillah, we reviewed the heavy letters and the light letters, all of them, okay? Now we're going to talk about, remember, okay, one more time, that these heavy letters, the seven letters, not the letter ra, the next letters. Kha, qaf, ghain, sad, dad, ta, and la. These seven letters are always heavy letters, okay? So if they have fatha on the top, or if they appear with a sukun, but before them there is a fatha, then these heavy letters a sukun on the top. Okay, for example, we say oh, look, it has a heavy sound. We do not say r, no, r. Okay, next one, for example, we have s.
Yes,
s. Aslah, as, for example. Or for example, walad, look, it has a heavy sound, an isti'ala sound, okay, isti'ala attribute. Walad, right? It has that isti'ala. And for example, the word aqrab. Aqwa. Look, it has the qalqala as well, okay? And that heavy sound as
what about iqra?
Iqra. Look, still it has. The previous letter has a kasra, but still we produce a heavy sound with it. Iqwa. Alright?
Yes.
So remember this point. Inshallah.
Is the ra here heavy?
Ra, iqra. Yes, it is heavy. Inshallah, now, after reciting a salawat, inshallah, okay? Taking a break for you. Inshallah, we'll come back and talk about the letter Ra, which is temporary heavy and temporary sometimes
light.
Inshallah. Let's recite a salawat. But before a salawat, let's give thanks to IRIB English Radio and also Xavier International Schools Network. Thank you so much. We will be back, inshallah.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajhum.
Let's recite the Quran. a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With the light.
Five young and rare Bonelli's eagles born on a breeding farm in France are taking a journey to Spain where they will be released into the wild. These eaglets were born in captivity, which is a rare feat for this endangered species. Three of the five are ready to be released and have been fitted with GPS microchips for tracking purposes. Their initial release date was delayed because of several weeks of bird flu, which made traveling impossible. The other two eagles are too young to be reintroduced and are still being hand-fed from behind the curtain. They will make the journey sometime in July. The breeders, however, are worried about how to sustain the program as their birds begin to age. Pacto says his five pairs of eagles are aged between 18 and 30 years, and three of them are now too old to breed. He says the number of Bonelli's eagles had dropped dramatically since the 1980s, mainly to electrocution on high-voltage lines. Due to the reintroduction program, the population of these eagles has nearly doubled over the past two decades.
About a dozen penguins have been returned home after being given a second chance at life following their rehab in Argentina. The birds were rescued in the province of Buenos Aires and were transported to the Mundo Marino Foundation for evaluation. The Magellanic penguins were treated for malnutrition, dehydration and parasites. The foundation's director says these pathologies are usually caused by climate change, food scarcity and environmental pollution. Vets say they are seeing more and more of these sorts of rescues. The birds were nursed back to health in one of the foundation's facilities in the town of San Clemente del Tuyo. They were later released back to their habitat in southern Chile. People in Poland have rolled out flower carpets for the feast of Corpus Christi held in the central village of Spiszemierz. Families usually arrange colorful and symbolic carpets for the procession on the road section in front of their homes. They use flowers picked from the surrounding fields or their own gardens. They also use soil, sand and fresh cut grass. The procession begins from the church and roams the streets of the village. The flower carpets have been rolled out annually since the tradition started 200 years ago, except for once when a storm broke out.
This tradition is 200 years old, and according to what the village elders say, it has only happened once that there was no carpet of flowers for the procession, because a storm broke out and swept everything away in the afternoon.
Families begin collecting the flowers a few days before the feast and arrange it on the celebration day. Besides its religious aspect, the event is also meant to express appreciation for nature. The practice has been passed from generation to generation ever since it began. The tradition was registered at UNESCO's cultural heritage list last year.
artists have turned a historic village in the Tunisian island of Djerba into a vibrant open-air art museum. The organizer of the project says he has always had a clear vision for the gallery.
The goal of this project is to create a new way of displaying urban art, to create a museum, a real museum, which labels for the works with a certain lighting, certain works and staging. Also to create a dynamic to give this museum to the residents so that they could appropriate it and it almost becomes their business.
The project is called Djerbehud and it's located in a town of Eriyadh. Since 2014, about 150 artists from 35 different nations have gathered there to produce eye-catching street art. Tourists say they enjoy visiting the gallery because they can see something new every time they come round. Residents of the town are also content with the vibrant looks of their streets, saying the artwork give a little movement to their everyday lives. Japanese engineers have invented a four-legged robot that can easily move across rough terrain while carrying heavy loads. Japan's Kawasaki Heavy Industries has developed a quadrupled robot, believing it can help with labor shortage in the country's aging society. Dubbed Bex after the wild goat species Ibex, the robot features large curved horns. It can walk over rough terrain or move faster on smoother surfaces using wheels tucked in its underbelly. Bex was designed to perform tasks and carry humans in agricultural settings, thereby answering a labor crunch in rural Japan.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Another breakthrough in the world of science. Japanese scientists move one step closer to creating lifelike robots by changing their physical appearance. Researchers at the University of Tokyo have developed living skin on a robotic finger. To that aim, they have submerged the robot's finger into a cylinder filled with a mixture of the natural skin components. The lab-grown skin is water-repellent, has wrinkles, and can heal itself. A member of the research team explains how the innovation will be helpful in the future. Let's take a listen.
As for challenges in the future, since we've only produced a simple skin, we would like to add various sensory organs such as the nervous system and the vascular system. We would like to further improve the function of the skin. Once we complete that, I believe that the skin itself could be used for transplantation, or use the skin as a model to develop cosmetics or drugs, or for leather products that do not require harming the animal, or to cover prosthetic limbs and legs.
The lab-grown skin is much weaker than the natural type. It's unable to survive long without nutrient supply and waste removal. For now, the team plans to address those issues and also include more sophisticated features. They want to add hair follicles, sweat glands, and sensory neurons to the skin. A Belgian company is trying to combat urban waste by transforming used coffee grounds into edible mushrooms that can also be used in construction. The mycelium is grown in a damp cellar in Brussels. Some 5 tons of coffee grounds are collected each month from partner cafes. They are then mixed in drums where the oyster mushroom spores are added and mixed with straw in a sack. The mushrooms emerge from slashes in the sacks 15 days afterwards and are ready to be sent to shops for sales. The business owners say they are looking to expand their business and use coffee and mushrooms as an environmentally friendly alternative to plastic.
Each day we throw away a lot of coffee, and this coffee to be produced needs a lot of energy from the cultivation to the transportation to Europe, and it's just a pity not to use it more than a few minutes to drink a coffee.
The company has already tested out its fungus-based insulating tiles and received its first order of these tiles for soundproofing purposes. Jacket says they hope to produce 12 tons of the mycelium material per month when they gather enough investment. The business owner says there is no shortage of raw material as coffee is widely consumed in Belgium. Jacket says the innovation can dramatically cut down on plastic waste.
China launches three astronauts to its Tiangong space station as its construction enters a critical phase. The three blasted off from a launch center in northwestern China. They are the second group of astronauts to head to the space station since its construction began in April 2021. They will stay there for 6 months. The space station is planned as a three-section structure. The core module was launched in April, and two more components will be sent into space in July and September. The new mission will oversee the integration of the three parts. The crew's commander has described the task as a pivotal battle in the construction of Tiangong, which is planned to be completed by the end of 2022.
Colombia's long hunt for a fabled Spanish ship, San Jose Galleon, that sank centuries ago, comes to an end. But the mission leads to two more nearby shipwrecks filled with treasures.
We have found two additional ships, one ship that is from the colonial period and another that, from the point of view of preliminary analysis, corresponds to the Republican period of our history. We also have related vessels, around a dozen similar boats, that will be located by our Navy.
The colonial-era vessels were found near Colombia's Caribbean port of Cartagena. A remotely operated vehicle reached 900 meters beneath to capture the shipwrecks and treasures inside them. San Jose Galleon sank in a deadly battle against English warships in 1708, taking with it billions in treasure. The Colombian president says the findings will be preserved and protected until extraction is done completely. The riches will then be displayed in museums.
Colombian scientists managed to reproduce an endangered species of frog, bringing it back from the brink of extinction. The scientists were able to reproduce 29 specimens of Lehman's poison frog after years of investigations and experiments using a lab built specifically for this species. They have released the frogs into the Colombian Pacific region with the hope of starting its repopulation.
We observe how the frogs adapt to this ecosystem, which is theirs, but it is a constant monitoring. And the idea is that of these first 29 frogs at the moment, there are really many more little frogs, and now we can tell the world that they are not in danger of extinction.
The scientists, however, warn that this particular species of frog is very difficult to reproduce or maintain under human care. They are also worried about the illegal trade of the frogs, which has already played a key role in pushing the rare species towards extinction. Colombia is home to over 700 frog species, more than any other country in the world except Brazil.
www.parstoday.com/en. What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up,